This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar. Or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. And you should hear the conversations I have sometimes with my guests before we even go on the air. I have on the telephone Anna Roundtree. I'm speaking to her at her home in Moravian Falls, North Carolina, by way of telephone. And I have a copy of her book, which I've just read, The Heavens Opened. On yesterday's broadcast, we found out that she was writing a book on Bob Jones, a prophet who had been to heaven many times. And she felt, well, I can't relate to this because I don't know what heaven's really like. Not realizing that God was listening. And since that time, she has had hundreds of visitations to heaven. And she literally will put a hunger within you to taste heaven. And I asked her before we went on the air, and I said, anyone that pays the price that's a believer in the Messiah, can they go to heaven? And what did you say to me, Anna?
I said, absolutely. And in fact, more so nowadays, because, Sid, I really believe that though this book and some others, like Rick Joyner's and others, are forerunners, you keep using the word provoke you to jealousy. It is to provoke one to jealousy, to seek to go on. I believe that the Lord is bringing all of the believers into a place where they can communicate directly with Him.
Let me ask you a question. We had talked earlier about this off the air, but what was known as the charismatic movement that your husband was a pioneer in, that's pretty much finished, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's simply an opinion, but I believe so. I believe it was actually finished in 1977.
And what we call the renewal movement at Brownsville and Toronto and lots of other places, it's still going on, but I don't see the same degree of changes in people like I did at the beginning. And it's almost the same as the charismatic movement. So we're kind of in between moves of God's Spirit. But you know what's going on in the heavenlies. What, in your opinion, will be the next move of God's Spirit?
Well, I think it's going to be so entirely supernatural. Of course, it's always supernatural. But I don't think it's going to be as tied to a church or something of this sort. I really believe that the Lord wants to call people directly to Himself. What I call calling people to the garden. I think that we're trying to aim for the wrong thing, Sid. I think we're aiming for the early church or...
Well, you and I had discussed this. As you know, Mishpocha, I'm a Messianic Jew, Jewish believer in Jesus. And Anna and I were talking about this. And Anna said, you Messianic Jews don't go back far enough. And I said, well, what do you mean? We go back to Moses and the Torah and the biblical festivals. And then she said what she just said to me. We don't go back far enough. How far should we go, Anna?
All the way to the garden. That's when there was no division.
Well, that's true.
That's right. There is no division there. And
you mean before the fall, of course.
Well, Really, yeah, before the fall. But even just the Lord walking with Adam and Eve in the garden.
It sounds so pure and so wonderful.
It's he wants that kind of intimacy. And he wants us, as it says, set your mind on things above. And we have become so earthly minded here that we don't understand that what we actually need to do, Sid, is that we need to live above and commute to work on earth. But we have gotten very centered, earth-centered, which Paul warns us not to do, but to look above, because it shifts onto, it throws everything onto the Lord then. When you live above, you know absolutely that things must shift to Him, and your flesh starts getting out of it. You see?
But Anna, it's easy to preach it. Now, you and your husband are living this. You're out in a beautiful place. I was in your home. I almost got snowed in, as a matter of fact, in Moravian Falls, which is a story all unto itself. But the average person, the pull, well, let's just be candid, the pull of the world, the pull of the flesh, the pull of this life, without some supernatural help, how do you shift out of that pull to just be so single-minded? How does someone do this?
Well, during the time that these things were began with me, Sid, my husband took an interim pastorship in a Presbyterian church in the Panhandle of Florida. We were down in Florida. And it was a small church, and then a small church that actually keeps you busier than a big church, because you must do everything, visit the sick, teach, preach, do all the things with the children, and besides, you know, going to... getting to know everyone and helping with corning season, which is, you know, shucking corn and snapping green beans and things like that when you're out in the country. And so we were incredibly, incredibly busy. We really were. And these visions, I was having these visions anyway. What you must do is that you must want God more than anything. You must say to yourself, as I believe you have said, there has got to be something more. And that's very much what we said to ourselves after we left working with the pastors in Kansas City. There has got to be more. We have seen revival. We've been in 3 revivals, in fact. We have seen the pastors coming together in unity and love, and as glorious as that is, there has got to be something more. And so we left to go find the something more. We wanted to know what the more was. And once you get in a heart pursuit of God, He will raise up to meet you on the path. He will say, this person is seeking me, and they are desirous of me, not desirous of supernatural squiggly things that are going to make you feel wonderful and excited and disappear like Chinese food. No, the person is seeking me. They want me. When you seek God, then the other comes with that. But it's in the pursuit of God Himself.
It's a catch-22. Is God waiting on us, or are we waiting on God?
Well, I believe that He waits to see if you're going to do it. I mean, He gives everyone so much already. And we certainly aren't grateful, you know. I mean, we're still too titillated by knowing this little mystery or that little mystery.
Speaking of mysteries, I asked you a question. Do you ask the Lord questions? Do you ask him all of these mysteries? And I'm amazed that, yes, you've asked a few questions, but you're really not interested in that when you go to heaven, are you?
I'm really not.
What are you interested in when you go to heaven? I mean, I've got all sorts of questions about healing and about end times. And I mean, I would sit down with my little notebook like a reporter.
It's so amazing just being there. Even though this is more mind-blowing than anything, one becomes accustomed to it because you have been there many times, you know, and so it doesn't just rattle you every time you go. It's like home. That's like home, and here is almost like a foreign land, you know. But here is where you are sent to work and serve the Lord, but up there is home. And
now, you wouldn't do my television show. Why wouldn't you do my television show, Anna?
Well, I know it sounds strange. I know it. But the Lord asks us to be hidden. And when you see a face, then you start getting this personality along with it. These books are absolutely his books. They are not ours at all. I had no idea I was going to write a book at all. Said all I did was record the visions. No one was more astounded than me when the Lord said, I want this in a book. And I thought, I said, but who would read this? Who would believe me, Lord?
That's the better question. Not who would read it, who would believe it.
Yeah. Who will believe that this is true? But all I did was find out what he wanted and lift right straight from my journal what had been recorded and put it into the book. All I did was just join them together, you know. Of course, a lot of them weren't in there because there's just too many of them. But that's all I did. So what you have...
But this book's going all over the world now, and you're not even promoting it.
Well, that's right.
We're out of time. Mishpucha, I want to find out about the parts, the body parts in heaven that are ready to come here, the miracles, the angels being trained to release them, to assist us in the working of miracles. I want you to have this book, The Heavens Opened. We're making it available, including postage, for $16. It's a book that you will read and read, and it'll get you off of the apathy that's settled in. The Heavens Opened, $16, postage paid. Call or write today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Throw a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountain.
Okay.